I'd like to thank everyone for joining the webinar today. Webinar Give Me 5108, Renewing and Developing Your CCR and ORCA Profiles. It's presented by Angela Dingle, who will guide you through renewing your CCR and ORCA profiles, a critical process to being successful in the federal procurement marketplace. My name is Scott Nolan, Give Me 5 Program Coordinator for Women Impacting Public Policy. Before we present today's course, I do have a few brief technical notes. We are recording this presentation, including the question and answer segment. A podcast recording will be sent along with a brief survey to all registered attendees of today's call. We like to keep these sessions interactive, and we invite your questions as the session is delivered, but we have muted the lines for audio quality. During the presentation, if you have any questions for our instructor, please feel free to send your question immediately via the chat function on the upper right-hand side of the webinar screen. Please do not put your phone on hold as it can disrupt the call. If you need to step away, please hang up and call back in when you are ready to rejoin the session. For optimal viewing, you can click on the full screen icon on the upper right of the display window. Today's course instructor is Angela Dingle, President and CEO of Xnilo Management LLC, which has helped her customers increase productivity, streamline workloads, manage risks, reduce costs, and realize millions of dollars in savings. Angela is a certified management consultant, CMC, with over 20 years' experience in business leadership, IT governance, risk management, compliance, and software engineering, and quality assurance. She's also certified in the governance of information technology. Angela is a WIP national partner. She serves as a member of the Executive Advisory Board of Women Impacting Public Policy and is the Vice President of Professional Development for the Institute of Management Consultants, National Capital Region. She's the author of the Female Entrepreneur blog and is the recipient of the CompuWare Corporation's Profile and Excellence Award, the American Small Business Coalition Eagle Spirit Award, and the Data Computer Corporation of America's Presidential Award. She's a featured guest on Federal News Radio's Women in Government series, a contributing author to Washington Technology Magazine, and is featured in United's Who's Who Registry of Executives and Professionals. Angela, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks, everyone who has dialed in. I'd like to thank Women Impacting Public Policy and American Express Open for providing these types of educational opportunities for myself and for other minority and women-owned businesses that are looking to do business with the federal government. For today's session, we will be talking about renewing and developing your renewing your CCR and updating your ORCA, which is your Online Representations and Certifications application. Response on the chat, how many of you are currently registered in the CCR? Let's see if we get any responses there. And the reason that I'm asking is that this session is designed for individuals that currently have a CCR and ORCA registration, as opposed to someone who has not yet. WIP offers a separate course. It is Give Me 5101, the Introduction to Federal Procurement and the Central Contractor Registry, that would teach you how to do your initial registration in the CCR and in the ORCA. So throughout the time that we'll spend together today, there is an assumption that you have already registered and we'll just be updating this information. So I see a couple of responses from folks saying that they are registered in the CCR. So today we're going to talk about how to renew your CCR registration, when to do that, as well as how and when to update your ORCA or your Online Representations and Certifications application. So for those of you who have registered before, you know that registration in the CCR is required for anyone that's doing business with the federal government, and that requirement is based on FAR Clause 4.11, and FAR stands for the Federal Acquisition Regulation. The FAR requires that you have an active registration in the CCR prior to the award of a contract or an agreement, and then FAR Clause 52.232-33 requires registration for payment because the government's preferred method of payment is through electronic funds transfer, and the information that would allow them to do that is a part of your CCR record. Active registration from a CCR standpoint means that all of the mandatory fields within your CCR record have been validated. Your record will be marked as an active registration as opposed to one that is inactive or registered and still pending validation, or one that has invalid information in it. And then finally, that your consent for taxpayer for your taxpayer identification number or your EIN number for the government has been validated and provided to the government. So in terms of your responsibilities, you have a responsibility every 12 months to go in and update your CCR record. And so it's not based on calendar year, it's based on every 12 months. And in actuality, as you do business in the federal government or as you bid on additional contracts within the federal government, you'll find a requirement for you to update your CCR record might be necessary based on which clauses are contained, which FAR clauses are contained in the solicitation that you might be pursuing. So one of the key things that you need to do when you are going in to update your registration is to look at the list of users that are assigned to your CCR record and make sure that their contact information is valid. Make sure that you add or remove any users that are no longer with your firm or individuals who have just joined your firm. In particular, there are a couple of users and contact information that are pretty significant for you. You want to make sure that your electronic business point of contact information is accurate. If that person leaves your organization, you want to make sure that you've got an alternate or a successor that you've identified and entered their information in there, because that's going to be key to your financial payments. And if you have an administrator that's responsible for your CCR record and that person leaves, you want to make sure that you have an alternate that can help you to maintain the users within your organization as well as your registration as a whole. As you are progressing through the CCR screens, when you go in to do an update, it's going to show you the various sections of your CCR record in the same manner that they were presented when you did your initial registration. And in the same way that you had to validate and save data during your initial registration, you'll need to do that same thing when you're submitting your renewal. So if any of your information has not changed, you would just simply click validate and save to update the actual record. And when you've completed all of those steps, if you look on the left-hand side of the CCR screen, there's a navigation menu, so it's going to have all of the various sections of your record that show on the left-hand side, and you'll either be presented with a green check mark saying that that information has been validated. You might have a gold or a yellow exclamation point telling you that that data is missing or invalid, and then for some of the fields on the screen, there'll be view-only information that cannot be modified unless you fall within a certain category. So for firms that are based in the United States, the address information and general information about your firm is going to be grayed out, because that information is pulled in from your Dun & Bradstreet record. So for everyone who currently has a CCR record, you had to have a Dun & Bradstreet account number before you could create your CCR record. And within your CCR record for a company that's based in the United States, that information is going to be view-only and you won't be able to make modifications to it. There is a slight difference for firms that are non-monitored, as how they're referred to from a CCR standpoint. Those are going to be U.S. territories and countries that are not monitored by the United States. So Puerto Rico, Guam, American Samoa, their records will allow them to update the address and general information. For us in the United States, if when you're looking at the information, your address is not correct, or maybe your telephone number is not correct, you need to contact Dun & Bradstreet, and I can provide you with that telephone number, or you can just do a Google search for dnb.com. So your general information, in that section, as you're going in to do your annual update, you are required to update the average annual receipts and the number of employees for all of the affiliates. So you're going to be entering updated information at least every 12 months. So that's your requirement with respect to general information. And some of the information within your CCR record is required, and then some information is not. Your goods and services and or your NAICS codes are required. You can add or change the NAICS codes at any time. You can go into your CCR record as often as you'd like to go into your CCR record to make modifications that are necessary in order for you to remain in compliance with the FAR and in compliance with any of the changes that are going on in your business. When you make these changes, it takes a couple of days for the changes to propagate throughout the, to be validated by the folks at the CCR and then propagate over so that you can then update your ORCA record, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But your NAICS codes, in general, most companies have about six of them in there. Again, WIP has some other courses, the Introduction of Federal Procurement that's taught by Gloria Larkin can help you to identify which NAICS code should be listed in your CCR record. On average, there is about six. It can be more than six if you'd like to have more than six in there. Nothing will preclude you from bidding on a procurement that has a NAICS code that's not listed in your CCR record. You just get to make that determination as you are looking at a solicitation and deciding what you want to pursue. But in terms of your annual update, you want to make sure that you look through those NAICS codes. If there are things that have changed, like you've added new services, go ahead and put the new NAICS codes in there. If there are services that you used to provide and you don't provide them anymore, you want to make sure that you go in and delete the NAICS codes that are no longer applicable to your firm. The other form of required information that you need to take a look at least on an annual basis, is the banking information. So your electronic funds transfer data is maintained in your CCR record. That's the government's preferred method for paying you. It is legally mandated based on the FAR for all of your contracts, grants, and any cooperative agreement payments. The part of the reason that it's important to keep your CCR record updated is that you need to keep your record active until you receive your last payment associated with a contract or a grant or a cooperative agreement payment. So if you have a contract that ends in September at the end of a fiscal year, but you don't receive the remainder of your payments until November or December, you need to make sure that you keep your CCR record active and updated with the correct banking information so that you can continue to receive your payments. The other portion of required information are the points of contact for your firm. So annually, you need to go in and validate that the information listed for those points of contact is correct. We talked a little bit about your electronic funds transfer point of contact, as well as your administrator. Those are probably going to be the two key ones. And the individuals that are solely responsible for your business development and or any other important information about the company. And you can do that by using the managed user screen that's initially presented to you when you log in. And if you forget your password, there is a link off of the login screen where you can have your password reset. Now, your marketing partner identification number, your MPIN, is something that you set in CCR, but it is also your password that you use to get into other systems, such as your ORCA record and grants.gov. And so it's important that the ID that you're using here in your CCR record, that someone is aware of what that was, because it will provide you with access to. And we're going to slide 14. All right, so the final set of required information is going to be your IRS consent. When you initially create your CCR record, you are going to provide consent as to whether or not your IRS information is correct in your CCR record. In general, unless you change your taxpayer identification number or there are any errors with your taxpayer identification number, you do not need to make any modifications to this particular set of required information within your CCR record. But you do just want to take a glance at it to make sure that the information is still accurate and that there have been no changes that that you need to make anyone aware of. So I still cannot see the screens that you guys are working with. Here we go. All right. So we should be on slide 15. The the other section there is your Dun & Bradstreet monitoring. So again, for firms that are based here in the United States, the information that shows up in this section is view only. So you can't make any modifications to it. For instance, my firm moved locations last year, so our CCR record was no longer valid in terms of our address. In addition to changing that, you're notifying all of your customers that that information has changed and changing that with the state where your business is registered, you also need to contact Dun & Bradstreet. Dun & Bradstreet will modify the information in their system. That information will be pulled over into CCR. Once it's been corrected, you at the point where you know the information is not valid, you leave out of the CCR record. Anything that you've input already will remain as it is. You contact Dun & Bradstreet. They will make the modification. It takes a day or two for the change to come over into the CCR system. And once it's over in the CCR system, you have to return to that screen and accept the changes that were made by Dun & Bradstreet. Sometimes that works very seamlessly, and sometimes it doesn't. It took us 2 to 3 times for it to happen, but I think it was because we put in a change at the post office as well, and the post office change was overriding what we had discussed with Dun & Bradstreet. But that's how you'll make any changes to your the general information about your business. And so you want to click validate and save once that information has been corrected on that screen as well. So Dun & Bradstreet has a federal government component that they work with, so they understand how the changes get pulled over into the CCR, and they can help to direct you if you need to make any changes there. Okay. So just to review what you need to do from a CCR standpoint, you are mandated by law at least every 12 months to go in and validate the information in your CCR record. So you're going to have to update your annual number of receipts. And for obvious reasons, they're looking at that type of data to determine whether or not you fall within the same size standard. That's not the only information that they use, but they're also going to look at things like your small business certifications, and it's an accumulation of data that they use to make sure that you are in compliance with your contracts and that the information in your record is accurate. You'll want to make sure that your points of contact have been updated. You want to make sure that your financial information is accurate and that the general information that's pulled over from Dun & Bradstreet is accurate as well. And at the conclusion, you will click Validate and Save on each of those screens. Again, there's a navigation bar or navigation menu that's on your left-hand side. Once you've got the green check marks in each of those sections that are required, then the status of your record will show that it has been validated and updated. And as long as it reads as an active contract, you are able to both conduct business with the federal government and receive your payments from the federal government. Now, the MPIN, or the Managing Partner Identification Number that you set within CCR, is what you use to update your ORCA record. So the online reps and certifications application replaces what used to be Section K in most federal solicitations, where they ask for your representations and certifications. It's asking you to validate that these things about your firm are correct and true to the best of your ability. FAR Clause 52.204-8 has mandated that those paper-based reps and certs be replaced by the online reps and certs. Depending on what type of contract or what type of solicitation that you're bidding on, what's in ORCA may not cover all of the clauses that that particular agency needs you to certify. For example, we do business with the Department of Defense, and there are some additional representations and certifications that the Department of Defense requires. And for the most part, you still fill out your online reps and certs, and then just for the additional ones, you make a notation that you agree with those. But for the most part, they are completely phasing out the paper-based Section K. So as you read a federal solicitation, Section K will still appear in the document. There's generally a clause very early on, clause 1 or 2 or 3 somewhere in there where they're going to ask you, do you have an ORCA record? And you can use your ORCA record instead of doing the paper-based ones. So in order for you to be able to update your ORCA record, you need to have an active CCR registration. Now what that means is if again, for us, we moved our offices last year, so I was not able to update our ORCA record until all of the changes were made in the CCR record. So we had to go to Dun & Bradstreet to get the address modified. Once Dun & Bradstreet put the correct information into CCR, then I could complete the CCR update. And once the CCR record was active again, then I could come in and update my ORCA. So we had about a week or two where there was a little bit of where they were not synchronized. But neither of these registrations expire with respect to how you can respond to a solicitation unless you've gone beyond that 12-month period of time. As long as you continue to update them with accurate information at a minimum of every 12 months and more often as information changes about your firm, you should be okay. So you need your MPIN from your CCR registration, and you need your DUNS number, and that's how you log into your ORCA record. So you have additional responsibilities with respect to your ORCA record. You need to make sure that the information that's contained in the record is accurate to the best of your ability. You need to update that information as it changes. So I'm not sure how many women-owned businesses are on the call, but earlier this year, the women-owned small business procurement rule went into effect. And by that going into effect, there were changes that you should have made in your CCR record as well as changes that you should make in your ORCA record. So even though it had been less than 12 months since my firm modified our records, we went in and made those changes so that we could comply with the Women-Owned Small Business Procurement Rule. Again, you need to do this at least once a year. And any time that you have something that's very specific to a particular solicitation, you might have to provide some reps and certs that are contract specific. In the same way that you click validate and save within the CCR, you need to click save and continue questionnaire, on each page within the ORCA. And then when you get to the last page, you're going to click save and continue certifications. So, you will be presented with a list of read-only questions on the certification page, which is going to be page 5 of your ORCA, and you click Submit Certification to activate the renewal, even if none of your information has changed. So in both instances, when you hit, you know, if you haven't had any changes within your firm and you're coming up on that 12-month period of time, you want to go into both of these systems, click through the screens, validate and save the information so that your record is then active and updated for the next 12-month period of time. So for ORCA, you have a primary point of contact for your firm. You want to review that information and make sure that the point of contact's name and contact information is updated and accurate. You also want to check to make sure that your physical business address has been pulled over correctly from your CCR record and that it matches the information that's in Dun & Bradstreet. For us, when we did that change last year, once the change was in CCR, the change also showed accurately in our ORCA record, and so we didn't have any challenges there. So you will be presented with some basic information about your firm, letting you know what the status of your CCR record is, what your NAICS codes are, what type of organization you are on that first screen, and you want to validate that information. So just as a way of reminder, there are 5 pages in the ORCA questionnaire. If the group is interested in that, I can ask Scott to provide you all with a sample of the ORCA questions. And they're asking questions that help them to determine what type of company you have, where you do business, and how you do business. So they're questions that ask about whether or not you're a small business within a specific NAICS code. There are questions that ask about whether or not you transport chemicals or whether or not you buy equipment from non-U.S. companies and whether or not you're certified within the one of the SBA programs. So, again, as new information develops about your firm, you may need to go in and make modifications so that this record accurately reflects the type of business that you do and how you do business. There are a total of 29 questions. There are 5 read-only FAR clauses And as I mentioned before, the Department of Defense has some additional federal regulations, and those are called DFARs, and they're non-DFAR clauses that you need to check off in order to complete your update. So you would just go through each of those five screens. Your answers to the 29 questions may or may not change. You do need to validate and save the information as you move through the screens. And once you've completed all of those and you click Submit, your ORCA record is updated immediately. When you make a modification to your CCR record, for an initial CCR record, it's going to take about 3 to 5 business days for them to validate all of the information because, again, they have to go back to Dun & Bradstreet. When you're doing an annual update, it's generally about 24 hours for your CCR record to be updated, so you don't have to wait as long to once you've updated your CCR record to come over and make the modification to your ORCA record. And I see a question here about Sean Skinner wants to know if we can email out copies of the PowerPoint slide after the webinar. I think that's standard practice for WIP and Give Me Five, so you should have copies of them once we're done with today's presentation. So your responsibilities with respect to your CCR record as well as your ORCA record is to ensure the accuracy of your information. You need to review and revalidate the data in both of the systems every 12 months from the date of your previous registration. So not calendar year, 12-month running cycle, unless there are changes to your firm that require you to update it more often. And if you are not currently doing business with the federal government, you'll note that once you start doing business throughout the year, there are different things that may occur throughout the year that require you to go in and make modifications to it. And as you pull up your initial CCR record and when you pull up your ORCA record, it'll tell you what your current date and status is. You can also download the information. You can download your ORCA record into a PDF, and in lieu of the Word or Word-based Section K reps and certs that we used to send out, now you can just send out that PDF version of your ORCA record. You need to make sure that you maintain an active registration in both of these systems until you receive all of the payments on a contract. So again, if you have a contract that ends but you won't receive your final payment until some months afterwards, you may need to make sure that these records are updated and active so you can continue to receive them. And that would just be based on the assumption that that maybe you chose not to do business with the federal government anymore. But as long as you are open to doing business with the federal government and or receiving payments for contracts, you need to make sure that your CCR and your ORCA records are both active and updated. Make sure that you are keeping information at Dun & Bradstreet and the Internal Revenue Service updated so the changes are accurately reflected in CCR. We did have a hiccup with our Internal Revenue Service record. Somehow they still had our old address, even though the Dun & Bradstreet record had our new address where we moved to. So again, it's just a couple of phone calls to those places. They generally will have a federal procurement point of contact that can tell you the best way to either submit forms to get that information corrected, or they may be able to take your information and make the changes for you over the telephone. And then you want to make sure that your e-business and your administrative points of contact have all the information that they need to both fulfill their roles as well as to maintain your record, and you want to make sure that you have alternates or successors for those individuals if they choose to leave your firm. So your CCR record must be updated every 12 months from the date of your previous registration. Your ORCA has to be updated at least once a year or as necessary to comply with solicitation requirements. And again, those will be on a case-by-case basis. For the most part, you'll find that you don't have to update your ORCA. For the most part, Section K typically will cover what you need unless you're doing some things like defense contracting. And then remember that there's data that's populated for you based on your Dun & Bradstreet profile, so you need to keep that information updated as well. Dun & Bradstreet will generally send out a survey to you once a year. It should come through the mail where you can provide them with updated financial information as well as updated contact information for your firm.
I would like to thank everyone for joining us today, especially Angela, and thank you for your wonderful presentation. A copy of the podcast and presentation of this training will be sent out to all participants on today's call, and links will be posted on the Give Me 5 member archive for you to listen and watch at your own leisure. Join us next Friday, September 23rd, for Give Me 5 240, Effective Market Research to Determine Federal Agencies Small Businesses Should Target, presented by Barbara English, President and CEO of English Solutions Incorporated. Please refer to giveme5.com for a full list of our ongoing training webinars. Give Me 5 is just one of the training programs available through WIP. The WIP Money and Opportunity Series combines resources and the wealth of knowledge within the WIP community to educate women business owners in government contracting, access to capital, technology and communications, and energy and the environment. If you would like to join WIP, please contact us using the contact information provided in the follow-up email. Women Impacting Public Policy is the voice for women in business in our nation's capital, advocating for and on behalf of women and minorities in business in the legislative process of our nation, creating economic opportunities, and building bridges and alliances to other small business organizations. WIP and American Express Open are dedicated to opening federal procurement opportunities for women business owners. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us, and thank you again, Angela. Good day.
Thank you.